That's shocking.
Yes.
That's not okay.
Yes, Chick-fil-A's got to go.
No, it's clearly Cane's. I don't know if we can be friends anymore. I'm so
appalled. All that stuff you just said about me.
I'm done with you. No.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women. This season, hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, are on the lookout for the good life, a life that sometimes seems elusive, one of beauty, joy, creativity, and fun.
We have a hunch it might involve learning to think about life as a work of art and finding our place, not as the artist, but as the canvas. It's getting real. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to IKR. I'm Latasha. And you know what? You all have great questions. We have really appreciated all of the feedback that you've given us this season. And there have been lots of questions. So Allie and I are here today, and we're just going to answer some of them.
Yep. We're going to mix in some fun ones. You guys are pretty funny. We've got some hilarious ones. We even had one from Latasha's daughter we're going to answer.
She's still grounded, though.
And we're going to answer your questions, and we're going to share some of your feedback. And we just want to say thank you for the season.
Yes.
And thank you for being engaged with us. These have come from emails that we've gotten.
Yep.
They've come from Instagram, and they've come face-to-face
yep.
with listeners that
That's
we
right.
might run into. Mm-hmm. And so we've compiled all of those, and we're going to run through, and we'll try to do a mix. Also, please, any that we don't get to, we're going to record some videos over the next couple of months, and we're going to pepper Instagram with some more of your listener questions. So if we don't answer yours, we still might answer it in the coming months.
There's always a chance.
That's right. Let's start with our reflections on season
okay.
two.
Great.
And we got this question from a lot of people, what we learned, what we liked, who did we like,
yes.
favorite guests. So yep. just reflect on season two for a minute. What were some of your highlights?
So highlights for me, I loved hearing the stories of people who are what I would say experts. While we talked about God kind of being an overarching theme as the master artist, mm-hmm. I believe that he put skills into people mm-hmm. who allowed them to be kind of the subject matter expert or the artist in their field. And so I loved the breadth of people that we had, just mm-hmm. like all kinds of interesting, different diversity kind of people that I would never, ever connect with. And that's mm-hmm. actually, my favorite part of this entire thing is getting connected with people that I don't know and I don't normally get a chance to talk to. Mm-hmm. In terms of a favorite episode, I loved the vulnerability episode. It was actually one of my favorites, and people need to hear it. So,
and Dr. Chantel was...
Love her.
I really liked how helpful that was. Definitely, I would say, at the top of my list.
Yeah.
I probably have three different ones that I really loved yeah. for different reasons. But Dr. Chantel was at the top of my list because when you're in a relationship of any sort that's important to you, that relationship and how it's doing kind of dominate...
That's right.
...how you're doing to some extent. And so she was so helpful, so tangible, and even in ways that I would say, oh gosh, like I don't think we do that very well, mm-hmm. she still felt so hopeful and so accessible. Like, okay, well, if you're not doing that today, then maybe you want to start here. And so she was just like a breath of fresh air for me. So
I agree.
I love, you know me, I love a good bullet point. And so she was just very tangible to help
Data.
On such a big subject.
Yep.
And I've probably been on a big quote unquote journey over the course of this season that largely surrounds vulnerability. And so, of course, I'm going to like the episode that helped me the most.
Yep. It was fun to watch you grow. I don't know if I can say grow,
yeah,
but like it
sure.
was, it's been really fun to watch you expose yourself and like rise to the challenge. It's been very, very sweet.
Most
kind of
the
like
season
sitting on the sideline, like, oh, look at that.
Most of the season, my face was like emoji face with all the teeth, like, ah, you know,
yeah.
one of those. One of my favorite things about season two, which people really responded to, has to be Brian.
Mm.
We got a lot of response
That's
from
right.
the episode with Brian Tome. We actually heard from a number of men as well about
Thanks,
that
guys.
Episode. Thank you.
Keep
Thank
listening.
You guys. He, I think, being that he holds a position of, I will say, spiritual authority, people truly believe, and they are right, that he's a man of integrity, a man that's close to God. So to hear him talk about his own insecurities yeah. and his own humanity, I think is just, I mean, it sets everybody at ease. And it's a powerful, powerful example of vulnerability, as it were. But he was just super forthcoming, exactly like we know him to be from working a little bit more closely with him.
I like that dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy. What is the most fun or unexpected thing that we've learned about each other in the process of season two? Do you have an answer for that?
Kind of going along with the vulnerability, the way I envision and picture you is so strong, and you have showed your weakness in a way this year. And so I didn't see it coming, actually. I was very pleasantly, I'm like, this is Allie? I mean, I really liked her last year, but now I really, really like her. So that was, it was really fun for me to just watch you be super vulnerable and expressive for people this year. So that was my favorite, most, you know.
Unexpected,
yep.
Mine was, I would put under the category of also unexpected. And it's interesting. It's a little bit different, but similar. Just the process, I think, of getting to know you better and better as a human. And you have caught me by surprise several times with your gentleness. Like when we've discussed something, or even if it's been sort of a contentious issue or somebody that really bugs me that I might tell you about, something that you whenever I push closer to your center and I really see you, there's such a gentleness toward others there. And again, like, I think of you as strong. Yeah. So there's, I think, getting past the exterior impressions of people is critical because you are strong and you are capable and all of that. And you're also a truth speaker, which I love about you. And sometimes I think truth speakers can be perceived as harder. But whenever I push toward the center and it's related to a person, you get very soft, very gentle. And that has caught me by surprise because it's a little bit different than, I think, what I see on the surface.
You thought I'd be like, forget those people.
Well, I think I go that way. I think I go, you know what? That guy bugs me and I'm out. And you're like, well, now, think just a minute. You know, so it's encouraged me to think again when I harden up.
Yep.
Because you tend to be soft, like the closer to the middle that I get to you.
Well,
so
thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I love that. I love having discovered that about you.
Nice.
So
thank you.
All right, you want to pick the next one?
We had lots of questions from lots of people. Mm-hmm. Can I just start with my daughter?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Let's do it.
My sweet daughter, she asked us a question on Instagram. It says, one has to go. Popeyes, Cane's, or Chick-fil-A?
Got to get rid of one. Which one do you get rid of?
You know what? I can't get rid of Popeyes because I actually like chicken with bone.
Okay.
So that means I have to get rid of either Cane's or Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I'll give you mine. It's a no-brainer.
Real? I'm saying Chick-fil-A's got to go.
That's shocking.
Yes.
That's not okay.
Yes, Chick-fil-A's got
to
go.
No, it's clearly Cane's. Listen to me, Latasha. Listen carefully to me. All Cane's is chicken fingers or chicken fingers on bread. That's it. That's all that happens at Cane's.
Yep.
You can get three or six, and you can get them on or off bread. I mean, that's it. I need more from a place. Chick-fil-A. I don't know if we can be friends anymore. I'm so appalled.
All that stuff you just said about me.
I'm done with you.
You know what?
Chick-fil-A. No.
That's
shocking.
I'm going to stick with Cane's because I just
You really want those chicken fingers, don't
I like
you?
Their chicken better.
On the bread.
I actually just like their chicken better. And if I wanted a salad or a smoothie or whatever the other thing is, I can go find it somewhere else.
Mm-mm. No, I can't. Oh, well. We're not going to see eye
to
eye.
Maya, you have destroyed a relationship right
Maya,
now.
Maya. Okay.
What's next?
I will go next, even though I'm very upset with Latasha right now.
Forgive me.
No, I can't. I'm not ready to yet. Before the episode ends, I will.
Great. Good.
I will. Okay, I'm getting there. What is the best piece of advice or the one piece of advice that you really want to give your daughter as she heads off to college next year? I picked this one just because I know this has been a theme for you and something that's very current for you. And I thought this would be good. Not only I want to hear your advice, and also we have a lot of listeners that are in college or near that age. And so, hey, what's a good piece of advice?
The thing that I will say to her and to anybody is that you are running your own race. You are not running somebody else's race. one of the things that we enjoyed about Brian was that he openly talked about comparing himself to other people and how that's normal. And it is. And for some people, it can be debilitating. And I want her to know that God has a path for her, and it's only for her. And if she looks to the left or to the right and sees somebody going faster or further or looks like an easier road, I just want her to recognize that that's just not her story, that she has her own story. And so in the morning, when she before she gets up, I put my hands on her feet. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says a wise man's steps are ordered by God. And so I put my hands on her feet and I say, God, you order her steps today. And so I don't want her running anybody else's race. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would say to her.
Great.
Run your own race, girl.
That's gold. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm going to throw in something I remember you said in season one.
Okay.
Because I think it's awesome.
Great.
Your first 6 weeks of college determine the rest of your experience.
Man. Yep. You're going to make me cry.
First 6 weeks of college determine the rest of your experience. So make your most vigilant and wise choices during the first 6 weeks about friends, about dates, about classes, about your time, about your body. Make all stay vigilant.
Yep.
First 6 weeks.
First 6 weeks. That's for you, Maya.
Lays a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, I do.
Okay.
I loved that because I agreed with it and I realized that it's played a part in your own story.
That's right.
And many other women I know.
Yep.
And so first 6 weeks, big deal.
First 6 weeks.
All right. You get to pick next.
I like this. Define beauty and what makes you feel beautiful.
I think beauty is one of the most intriguing and pointless and lavish things about God. Mm. Because it's just for the pleasure of making it.
Yep.
So I think women play a unique role in the world toward beauty to reflect that aspect of God that is probably just a bit richer or deeper than men, if I could say it that way, that we're created in such a way that we just naturally reflect God's beauty in like richer and deeper ways. And so to me, being able to do that well means that I'm close to him in such a way that that's not getting messed up, that I'm not taking on the world's version of that, because it's so easy to do that as a woman. Mm-hmm. The world's version of beauty to me goes one of two ways. It either goes down the path of you need to be airbrushed and perfect and long blonde hair and 18 and size 2, which I think as women, we're all used to seeing that one, right? Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. But then we buy it to some extent. And there's a lot of criticism and self-hatred, I think, that comes out of that place for a lot of women. But then there's this other kind of more insidious one that I'm seeing lately, which is there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. Mm. You're beautiful and perfect exactly the way that you are. Mm. And I would say
that's not true.
That's not true either. Mm. To me, beautiful means I'm in process with God. I'm close to him. I understand that there are pieces of me that are perfectly made. And that he dreamed some things up and called them Allison and put me out here. And those parts are beautiful. And then there's some parts of me that need some work. Hmm. And I think the work is beautiful and the process with God in my life is beautiful. And so to me, it's the messy in between those two.
Yep.
And I think both of those messages about beauty for women is wrong. Not just physical beauty, but like internal beauty. Yeah. Yeah. We're not perfect. There is crap wrong with us, but the process of working that out, knowing Jesus and doing that with God is beautiful.
Yep. That's awesome.
And so that's a long answer for what
Good
seemed
answer.
Like a simple question.
I like it.
Anyway.
Sweet. All right.
Okay.
What else we got?
Do I get to ask you one?
Yes, you do.
What made you start this podcast?
Jeepers. It was not me. It was you.
It was me.
It was you. And I remember you sent me an email about a year ago or so. And I am terrible at reading emails. And so the way that I read the email, I thought you were inviting me to an episode. And so my quick response back was, sure. Yes.
Great.
Oh, sure. I'm happy to be on an episode of a podcast. That sounds great. And you invited me to a call, a conference call. I remember I was driving back from Central Kentucky. Hi, CKY. And I was on this conference call with you and some other people. And there were all these questions. And you were saying things like, well, I think it should be called this, or I think it should be called that. I sent a text to my babysitter and she texts me back, IKR. And then every once in a while, somebody would pop in and say, what do you think, Latasha? And I was like, I don't care. What difference does it make? Because I'm on an episode, so I don't even know why I'm on this call. And probably the fifth time somebody said, what do you think? Or someone asked me for my opinion, I literally pulled over on the road and read the whole email and was like, oh, I should have read more. I might have said something different. Immediately, fear crept in. Why would they ask me? I mean, I'm not a fill in the blank. I'm not, you name the thing. In the church that I went to before Crossroads, I would always hear the pastor say, there is a word from the Lord today in, and then he would go into like what chapter. And it always struck me that God gave people voices for people to hear. And so I just said to God, if you have a word for me, and if other people want to hear it, and you can use my story and my life in any way, shape, or form, I would do it if it brings freedom, mm-hmm. not for the purposes of entertainment, because, I mean, we've said before, they're far funnier and whatever people. But if there is something that I could say that would bring freedom or cause people to get closer to God, I'm totally in for that. So,
like, if you're up to something here, God,
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
I'll take a step.
So absolutely. It was really an act of obedience
it
for you.
It was an act of obedience.
Somebody wrote in and said, what's the craziest thing that God has ever asked you to do? Would this make your list?
I'm sure this is, yes, this
probably
was crazy.
Somewhere on the list. It,
because I'm a shoot first, aim later kind of person. So it's very typical that I would say yes to something and then realize, what the heck did I just get into?
Oh, I'm an aim first. That's
oh, you
a great,
are? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Probably the craziest is when I moved from Las Vegas to Cincinnati when Maya was two and a half and not potty trained. That was ridiculous. It made no sense. So,
okay, so craziest thing that God has ever asked me to do, man, probably the biggest picture one was... when I left Crossroads staff to stay home full time with my children. At first glance, I might have thought it was leaving my career at Procter & Gamble to come to Crossroads, but that actually wasn't crazy to me.
Yep.
I was very clear that's what God was asking me to do. It didn't feel crazy. But to give up 2 years later, the very thing that I thought he had called me to go stay home because I thought he was saying, go stay home, that seemed crazy because it seemed to be working against, in my mind, what was against what I thought he had called me to do. And little did I know that the 7 years that I spent home would lay the foundation and refine mostly in my character, but also in my life, would lay the foundation and refine his ability to accomplish what he actually called me to do.
Yep.
And so I heard him. He progressively reveals himself
That's
to
right.
us, right? He doesn't like peel the whole curtain back at once. And so I think I had heard him correctly, but he needed something different. And that it seemed crazy to me because it seemed to be exactly the opposite of what he was. But I knew enough to know all the signs are pointing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. I believe this is God. I just can't make sense of why.
Yep.
And so I'm just going to go. I'm just going to trust him and do this. And I was home for 7 years. And that was probably the craziest thing because it seemed to give up the very stuff that I thought he wanted me to do.
In those 7 years, did you feel like, oh, yeah, it's totally revealed to me now. I completely get it.
Nope.
Good.
Nope. And nope again.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, the longer I was there, I hit a point in the middle of those 7 years where it was so black. My life and where I was going to be in it was so, and I don't mean black from a darkness. I wasn't feeling like I was in evil or bad things. I mean black as in I couldn't see a season in front of me.
Mm.
I didn't know how in the world I was ever going to do anything else but this. And that grieved me because I think that God calls women to do all different kinds of things. But what he had never communicated to me in any way, shape, or form was that he called me to stay home with my children as a life calling forever.
Yep.
Had I understood that, well, then yes, of course, then great. I'm right in the center of that. So peaches and cream.
Yep.
That is not how I understood things. Yet that's where I was. And then it was just like curtain pull, nothing. And when I mean blackness, I mean like the kind of blackness where you reach out into it and there's
you can't see
anything.
Just
anything ahead of you. pitch darkness. Mm. And so that was really difficult. And yet there was one part of me that just couldn't give up that I had followed him mm-hmm. here. So he must be doing something.
That's really interesting that you say it that way, because I suspect when you were feeling that way, I bet your kids were so blessed by you being at home mm-hmm. and taking, I mean, like, totally. There's, but mm-hmm. even though you're going through the motions, I love, number one, the obedience, because not all the time do we have the courage, do I have the courage to do the exact thing that God tells me to do? And then in the middle of it, not try to find a way out. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just good for people to hear. There were lots of questions about being a mom and mm-hmm. staying at home and taking care of kids and different callings and things like that. And I think the through line is that you never know how you're being prepared
yes.
for anything.
Yes.
You never know how the thing that happened last week or last year or last month prepares you to think differently, to act differently, prepares you to connect with someone differently. Yes.
Almost none of us are sitting where we are thinking, I'm in exactly the right place.
That's right. You better believe it.
I mean, no. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, we might have a season where we feel like that. But for the most part, we are almost never sitting mm-hmm. in that place for long.
Yep.
Because God is, he's a mover and a changer, and he wants to grow us. And that usually requires action. Mm-hmm. In that 7 years, oh my gosh, I was like, who am I as a woman, mm-hmm. as a mother, as a wife? I mean, he turned everything upside down. And so it was incredibly valuable. I mean, dark and black in that little part of your heart that knows there's something else that God has in mind for me, and I just can't see mm-hmm. it. I just have no idea what it is right now.
I think about that story in the Bible. Her name's Esther, and she's being prepared, and she goes to a spa day for like 3 years.
2 years or two, 3 years. Yeah,
like
whatever.
Like it's like a long period of time. And I'm sure the first couple of days was really nice to get milk baths and honey and right. whatever the things and makeup and stuff like that. But after 2 years,
and 2 years
like,
in, she's like, enough for the sucks. Love of yeah. God. I look
this
good enough.
Sucks. Yeah. That's right. And she did it for a reason. She was able then to like literally emancipate people. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, just don't despise the time that you feel like you're in a holding pattern where mm-hmm. you can't see, because God seems to be the best master planner, chess player that I've ever seen in my entire life. He is so many moves ahead of us that we can't even mm-hmm. imagine why we're being set up for the thing that we're doing.
Totally. Okay, so we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
We have so many left to do that we will definitely be answering some of these on Instagram. So make sure you're following us at IKR Podcast. Here's how we're going to finish. Since we have been saying all season that we are the canvas yeah. and that God is the artist and that he's making a masterpiece with mm-hmm. our lives, what is the brushstroke that the artist has been making on you?
Mm. Wow. Okay, do you know the answer to yours?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you asked the question, so you were prepared.
I will answer shortly. I'll give you like another
second
minute to think. For me, the brushstroke has been, if I were picturing it on a canvas, it would be very small. I have my eyes closed. I'm like picturing a canvas.
Her
I would say it would be very small. It would probably be in pale pink. It would be almost see-through. And it's because of what we talked about earlier. It's the notion of weakness and vulnerability, mm-hmm. that sometimes the loveliest little details are the ones that you perceive as weak or silly or unimportant, and yet they're the things that make the painting perfect mm-hmm. and beautiful. I'm using perfect
That's
in
right.
quotes. They're finishing strokes. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like God has done a few of those with me on weakness and vulnerability, just understanding that sometimes those little things where we think, oh, this hurts and it's small and I feel like people can see straight through me and I don't like that.
Yep.
They end up being, those tiny little things end up being some of the most mm-hmm. beautiful and powerful things.
It has been beautiful to watch too. I agree.
How literal
yes.
am I? That is
it
the
was a
literal
brushstroke
yep. that I feel like he's been making.
I feel like God, like he has finished a brushstroke and he's taken his brush off of the paint, maybe cleaned it off and dipped it into another color. And he's like about to do something. Yes, he's
Ooh.
Like about to do something.
So, I love that visual.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Oh, I love that visual.
I don't feel like there's a brushstroke yet, but I think he's like taking a look and he's dipping and he's about to do something.
I'm excited because I feel like you feel ready for that. That's how I perceive you, that you feel ready for that.
So I do.
That's exciting to watch, too.
Well, this is
fun. This has been fun. Look for more. And after season two is over, shortly thereafter, we have a plan, I guess, to engage fully in the world of social media. That's how people want to connect and communicate. And so we are going to be doing all kinds of experiments, and we would love for you to be with us. Latasha's dog is going to be involved.
Lola.
There are some challenges that we're going to be pursuing. There's everything from fitness to Christmas.
God.
And we are going to go for it so that we can connect with you in new ways. And we're all along the way going to be listening for and learning from you all as to how to approach yet another season of IKR.
Oh, boy.
So we're hoping to listen and learn and figure out along our way what might be great for season three.
Yeah. Please pray for us.
Yes.
Seriously.
So we're out until and unless we see you then. And it's been real. It's been a great season.
So, thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate it. We love your feedback, and we love you guys.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. As always, we always love to hear from our listeners. So drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at IKR Podcast. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did. See you soon.